Hello, my name is Luke Marshall, and you are listening to the ANCAP Philosopher. This is the first podcast, as you probably know, and so I'm going to start it off by introducing myself. Like I said, my name is Luke, and I'm going to tell you about how I became an anarcho-capitalist or a voluntarist. So, I can remember since about the age I was 10, Glenn Beck would be on Fox News, and I would watch him when my dad had him on the TV. Thank goodness I have moved past Glenn Beck, and so has my father, but he is the one who introduced the ideas of the Founding Fathers. I remember he had, every Friday, he would talk about a certain Founding Father and what they did, and this got me very interested in the Founding Fathers and the idea of what is freedom and what is the best way to achieve freedom for each and every individual. And so I had already started the search for what system could encompass the most amount of freedom and could give us the most power individually. And this is when I got into many people like John Locke and Thomas Jefferson, who have many great things to say. And really the ideas of classical liberalism, or basically the idea of small government. We only need government for things such as protection and government at a minimal amount to help society function. And so I got very into these ideas, and slowly it evolved into me becoming a Ron Paul supporter. In about 2011, before the 2012 election, I became very interested in what Ron Paul was saying. He says many great things. He would be what I'd call a statist libertarian, a libertarian in favor of having a government or a minarchist, someone for reducing the government as much as possible and having the absolute smallest government possible. And so I fell in love with many ideas like ending the Federal Reserve. I learned how the Federal Reserve truly operates and how it hurts many for the wealth of very few. And I read Mr. Ron Paul's book, In the Fed, and but the book that really piqued my interest in libertarian philosophy was the book Liberty Defined by Ron Paul. And Liberty Defined is a very good book. If you have not read it and you are very new to libertarianism, it's a very good introduction. It's not exactly anarcho-capitalism, and I do not think that it takes its ideas to its logical extent, but is a very good introduction. And it goes from each subject, one subject to the next subject to the next subject in alphabetical order. And it talks about Ron Paul's views on certain subjects. And this is really when I got away from kind of conservatism into libertarianism. This is when I started of non-interventionist foreign policy. Things like, you know, why are we the policemen of the world? Why are we in over 140 countries, and we are still going to get in more and more countries? It almost looks like the U.S. is for world domination. Who knows? Maybe there are. After all, that is the nature of the state, to make itself bigger and to have more power, and that is why it always, and I mean always, infringes on individual liberty. And so I got interested in non-interventionist policy, ending the Federal Reserve, and this really got me interested in libertarian philosophy. And the more and more I got into libertarian philosophy, the deeper and deeper I got into it. I became very, very active in the local community. I went to many anti-war rallies. Recently, I went to the Syria Not Our War rally. Oklahoma has a somewhat decent libertarian group. I try to stay in contact and do as much as possible with these people and try to network myself with more libertarians. But slowly, I realized that maybe our efforts were useless, and I became very discouraged from libertarianism. And I kind of go through spurts where sometimes I'll think there's lots of hope, and sometimes I will not think there is. But the more and more I see myself getting active in the community that wants freedom, the more and more I see more and more people waking up to these ideas. And there are so many people out there who are just so in love with freedom and are so much for the ideas. It is really inspiring. And hopefully how the people like Lou Rockwell and Stefan Molyneux and Ron Paul, who inspired me to be liberty-minded, hopefully I can act as some sort of catalyst to make you get to a freedom-loving state faster. So I became very interested in Ron Paul, and one day I was watching a YouTuber named Elliot Hulse, and in the comments, I saw a comment mentioning somebody named Stefan Molyneux. I've never heard this name before, and just kind of by luck, I happened to look up who Stefan Molyneux was, and I found Freedom Main Radio and started listening to many of the Freedom Main Radio podcasts, and I started watching many of Stefan Molyneux's videos, and this introduced me to the ideas of Murray Rothbard in anarcho-capitalism, or volunteerism. And that is how I got to the political ideas I got today. After I started watching Stefan Molyneux, I began watching other people who are anarcho-capitalists. I started reading from Lou Rockwell's website. I began reading Murray Rothbard, and I became very, very interested. And it was as if I was looking at a piece of a picture, but there's a little part missing. I had connected so many pieces of the puzzle. I had such a love and aspiration to achieve freedom, and finally I saw the whole picture. And so that is how I became an anarcho-capitalist. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some of the main ideas of strong libertarianism and anarcho-capitalism. One of the fundamentals of libertarianism is what was originally called the non-aggression axiom, or some people call it the non-aggression principle, and I call it the NAP for short. So if you hear me say the NAP, that is what I'm talking about. I am not talking about being tired and taking a nap. I'm talking about the non-aggression principle. And basically what the non-aggression principle says is that all uses of force is illegitimate. It is illegitimate to initiate force on someone, and it is immoral to initiate force on someone. So this would apply to our real lives. This would apply to everyday life. And it does for the most part. Most of us accept the non-aggression principle in our everyday life. We accept the NAP. Most of us don't initiate violence against other people. How many times do you hit someone because you want something? This isn't a problem we really face after we're outside of kindergarten, because we learn to accept that it's wrong and we are taught that it's wrong. But we hold a double standard for the state. So where we accept that it's wrong to initiate force or the threat of violence against someone, we do not hold government to this. We accept the idea of war and taxation, which is an initiation of force. And if anyone else were to do it, it would be called murder. It'd be a gang. It'd be extortion. But we hold a double standard for the state. And so that is probably the first and biggest part, the biggest philosophical idea that makes up anarcho-capitalism. The second idea, I would say, of anarcho-capitalism, it's the idea of self-ownership. You own yourself. And so the idea that you own yourself, it's individualism. I would say that there's individualism and collectivism, in that most political ideologies are rooted in one of the two. One says that the individual should have as much liberty as possible, and the individual should have the power to do something. And then there's the common good. There's the let's do whatever is best for the group, ignoring the individual right. And so I'd say that anarcho-capitalism is rooted in each individual being able to pursue his own liberty and liberation and freedom. And so it's the idea that you own yourself. You can do what you want with your body. It might not be smart. It's not smart to do math, but you can do it in an anarcho-capitalist society as long as you do not hurt anyone else. Now, it's different if you go get high and you begin to hurt someone, then the society would need to address that issue. But it's the idea that you can do what you want with yourself, because really, if you're not free to make bad decisions, are you really free? In America, there's this concept that as long as you're doing what you're supposed to, you're free. You are free as long as you do what the government wants. If you're not free to make bad decisions that possibly hurt yourself, are you really free? As long as you don't infringe on someone else's freedoms, does it matter what you do? Obviously, I don't want a society full of druggies, and I don't want a society full of people who hurt themselves. And I don't think that would happen in a libertarian society. I don't think that would happen in an individual society. I don't think that is a valid fear, really. But I do think that it is very important that we value individual liberty, and we need to have an understanding that even though we not might not want people to do these things, that they are free to do it. And in the long run, do things like the drug war that get people to try not to do drugs, or things as trying to arrest prostitutes and things of that nature, people who are only hurting themselves, does this really help our society? Does any of it really work? Does it create a more free society? Is it beneficial? And I think the answer is no. More people die in the drug war than people die from drugs. The idea is that individual liberty should always be held highest. So it's the idea of individualism, you own yourself. I'd say that is the second idea of anarcho-capitalism. And I'd say one of the fundamental parts of anarcho-capitalism, or really any capitalist society, true capitalist society, and let me say this real quick. Capitalism is so often a demonized term. I'm not referring to state monopoly capitalism. I'm not referring to crony capitalism. And I'm not referring to corporatism. I'm referring to a free market, a market that is allowed to provide for people and, you know, to meet the demands of the consumer. So I'm not talking about monopoly, state monopoly capitalism. I'm not talking about crony capitalism or corporatism. And so one part of a true capitalist society is the idea of private property, property from legitimate means. As long as you did not initiate force on someone and you worked for your property, that would be considered legitimate property and should be respected. If you get seeds, if you buy seeds and you start a garden, you should have the right to own whatever you get from your garden. This would be a form of legitimate private property. It is an extension of you. You grew the food. It is an extension of you. You own that. No one else should be able to take that for you, even if it is for the collective good. You should be able to decide for that. And in a liberty-minded society, in an anarcho-capitalist society, this would be respected. And this goes to the idea that you should keep the labor of your work. If you work for something, it is not only your right, but you deserve to keep what you make. If I knit a sweater, I deserve to choose what to do with that sweater. I shouldn't have someone else take that sweater and give it away. If I have a garden, I should choose what happens from the fruit and vegetables of that garden. If I wake up early in the morning and I milk a cow, I deserve to have that milk. No government, individual, collective, whatever, has the right to take that away from me because I worked hard for that. It belongs to me because I made it. So the idea of private property and owning what you create, that should be respected, and that is one of the main ideas of anarcho-capitalism. One of the things that we are all born with or acquire through hard work is skills and traits. And that is something that needs to be respected, is the fruit of our labor. And the state, the government, disrespects that all the time. And for some reason, people accept this. I do not know why people accept this, but they do. They let themselves be robbed constantly by the government. The government needs to have a respect for us, and it's clear that no government does. And so it is clear that we need to get rid of the institution of the state. And I'd say that another main idea of anarcho-capitalism or libertarianism, and this kind of goes back to the non-aggression principle, is that taxation is theft, and that taxation is an immoral concept, and that it is not liberty-minded, and it is very, very destructive. Now let's take a look at why taxation is theft. Okay, so what happens if you do not pay your taxes? You go to prison. So, when you pay your taxes, there's the threat that if you do not obey the government and pay your taxes, you will be arrested, right? And so since you will be arrested, that is the threat of force. And as the non-aggression principle states, the threat of force or force is illegitimate and immoral. So since there is the threat of force behind taxation, because you'll most likely go to prison if you don't pay it, or be fined more, and then if you don't pay those fines, go to prison. It's not voluntary interaction. And voluntarism or anarcho-capitalism comes down to the idea that all human interaction should be voluntary. It is not voluntary. It is forceful, it is coercive, and taxation is theft. Let's take a look at what extortion is. What extortion is, it's if you threaten to use force or violence against somebody in order to achieve property, especially money. So what would be a situation that would be extortion? If I were to hold a gun up to someone and say, it's either your money or your life, that would be a form of extortion. And many people often think that taxation is not extortion because the government, after all, doesn't the government provide beneficial things in our society? Well, here'd be my question to the person saying that government provides beneficial services. If I come up and I mow your lawn without your permission, and after I mow your lawn, I come up to your door with a gun, and I say, I mowed your lawn, that'll be $500. And if you do not pay me $500, I will take you away. I will kidnap you and hold you hostage. I will kidnap you and detain you. Would that be extortion? Would that be a form of immorality? Would that be a form of force? And if your answer is yes, then taxation would be a form of force too. Because essentially, this is what the government does. If you do not pay taxation, you'll have men in blue costumes with guns come up to your house and take you away. So taxation is a form of theft. And many philosophers such as Lysander Spooner, Murray Rothbard, Stefan Molyneux talk about the idea of taxation being theft. It's immoral. The government is no more than a band of thieves, and we need to treat them like thieves. We need to expel them from our society, or not necessarily expel them. That sounds bad. We need to get rid of government. We need to expel government from our society, not kill these people. For the most part, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what it is that they are doing to society. They don't know how bad they are hurting people. They don't understand that it's violence. Some of them at the very top do, but we need to expel the idea of government from our society. It is an idea that we need to regard as superstitious. It's an idea we need to regard as violent, coercive, and immoral. And so this kind of brings up a question. How can you say you truly own your house if it is being taxed? This kind of goes back to the idea of taxation. You would think that after you work very hard, you pay off all your mortgages on your house, you pay off your house completely, that you own it, right? But if you have to pay property taxes, how can you say that you fully own your house? Because your house isn't paid for. You were paying. If you thought you fully own your land or whatever kind of property it is, but you still have to pay for it, it is obvious that there is a greater owner. And the government owns everything through taxation, especially property and things that are taxed more than once. I guess sales taxes where you pay once, it could be debatable whether the government owns that. But something where you constantly pay and is never fully paid off, the government owns that. You do not own your house, the government does. And through taxation, the government owns part of everyone. And this makes government a violent institution. It makes it a thieving institution. The government is no better than a gang of thieves. They steal from people at the threat of violence. They take people into wars and are killed. And they kill others in war. They hurt the poor. They make money off of lying in the Federal Reserve and creating inflation. The government is a violent institution. It hurts society. It hurts the people. And it is an idea that needs to be done away with. If we are to aspire to have a truly free society, we need to get free of government. If you look at the word anarchy and its Greek root, it comes from the word anarchios. A-N-A-R-C-H-I-A-S. And anarchios means to have no rulers. Not having rulers. And most people would agree that this is a very good idea. Let's not have rulers. It's the idea you own yourself. That no one rules over you, no one governs over you. You own yourself. But the government constantly violates that, and it is seen that you do not own yourself. You are not the highest authority. You do not make your own decisions, and it is clear that government makes decisions for you. And so that's why government needs to be done away with if we want to get rid of rulers. Government is no better than any king. It is no better than any tyrant. It uses force, it uses violence, it uses coercion and lies. And we need to get past government. So government is the most violent institution, and this is something that I'd say just about every single anarcho-capitalist would agree on. And government is an institution that works off of fear. Why do we pay taxes? It's because we're fearful if we don't, we'll be arrested. They know they have more guns. They know they have more guns. They know they have more soldiers. They know they have more power. And so they use the fear that they are bigger and badder to bully us into submission. They bully the people into paying taxation. They lie to the troops and bully other countries into submission. It's the parasite class. And the people are the host. They suck money from us. Just like a parasite sucks nutrition from the host. Government bullies people into submission. They get more soldiers and they get more people. So that way they have more control over society. So government is an institution that is violent and works off of fear. And we do not accept this of any other institution. We are very critical of people who do this in our society. We need to be very critical of government. And we need to get rid of the idea that government is good and that government is great and it helps us, because it does not. And so this brings up the question, if the system we have is so bad, what is the solution? And as you can guess, that I'd probably say anarcho-capitalism and voluntarism is the solution. A society where all human interaction is voluntary. Because after all, the complaint of government that I'm bringing to you guys is that it's a coercive institution, that it's a violent institution. They don't respect people, they don't respect the individual, and they don't respect freedom. So the answer would be an anarcho-capitalist society. A society based off of voluntary interaction with a free market that can accommodate for people. And so anarcho-capitalism is the solution. And since anarcho-capitalism is the solution, we need to start applying the ideas of anarcho-capitalism to our everyday life. We need to put the idea of non-aggression in our everyday life. We need to try to tell other people about the solution. We need to tell people about the problem and say we do have a solution. Because what point is bringing up a problem if you do not offer a solution? But luckily, we have a solution that will bring freedom and prosperity to society and the individual. And so you please try to help spread these ideas of anarcho-capitalism, and please try to spread the idea that the state is a corrupt institution. And as we practice these ideas in our everyday life, we need to try to hold government accountable to these ideas. For instance, imagine how effective it was if a great majority of people were to quit paying taxes and said, no, we're not going to pay taxes. It is a system of violence and theft, and we will no longer play into your system of theft. You're not going to rob from us. It'd be the same as if people were being robbed and eventually they all just stood and said, no. Often, many images paint the idea of a master with a whip hitting his slaves. And there are many slaves and he is hitting them. Then one slave stands up, and he beats him into submission. Three slaves stand up, and he still beats them into submission. But when all the master slaves stand up, he can't beat them into submission anymore. And then the master bends over, just as the slaves did when they were being whipped. So it's the idea that government can bully us now because only a small majority are anarcho-capitalists and respect individual freedom and want to abolish the state. But once we get rid of this idea that government is good, and once the majority of people, or just a big number of people, say, you know what, we are not taking this, maybe these people would be able to secede from the society of coercion we live in. Maybe the state would deplenish, no longer be able to fund itself. Maybe it would just vanish. Maybe these people would just go. We don't know what would happen, but we do know that it would be a solution, and in one way it'd be taken care of. So the solution is intellectual awakening. It's getting people to see that there is a problem. That is the very, very, very key part into getting a free society, is people even realizing that there is a problem. Many people don't know there is a problem. And until we can realize that there is a problem, we are not going to get a solution. And so a lot of the power stands in each and every one of you who are listening to this. If we are to tell people of what's going on, people often are very, very non-receptive to the idea of liberty if only one person is telling it to them. But when 5 or 10 people is telling them about liberty, when 10 or 20 people, and eventually it becomes the majority of us, are freedom-minded, the rest will follow. If we were to get a vast amount of people to become free-minded voluntarists who believe all interaction should be voluntary, the rest of the people would follow. And then once they saw that this system is far better than any other system, and that we can prosper more, and that there is a greater respect for property and freedom and rights, then the rest of the people would be for the system we have today. Not the system we have today, the system we would get rid of today, and for the new system we were to be putting in place. And so a lot of this, it comes back to each and every individual accepting these ideas of liberty. And so when people ask me, well, how do I help do this? There are things like alternative forms of currency, like gold, silver, Bitcoin. There are things like writing a blog and stuff. And things like writing a blog, podcast, just talking to people. That's what really needs to happen. We really need to let people know that there's a problem and that people are suffering and that there is a solution. Because like I said, what good is bringing up a problem if you don't have a solution? But luckily we do have a solution, and there is a lot of hope for the future. And hopefully someday our kids can live in a society where they won't be taxed, where they won't be robbed from. Hopefully someday our kids or our grandkids can live in a society where they're not born into debt, into hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Maybe someday our kids can live in a society where property is respected, where they are respected as individuals, and they can keep what they work for. They can keep the fruits of their labor. Maybe this can happen, but it can only happen if we start waking up to it as a people and we start talking about these ideas. So the goal of freedom is for every individual. The goal of freedom is to get it as to many people as possible, and to really wake people up and let people know what's going on and know that this is a problem and there is a solution and that we have the solution. People need to speak out. There is a corrupt institution. This is a war. It's a war for people's minds. It's a war. They initiated violence against us. They initiated theft against us. This isn't a violent war, we aren't going to react violently, but we are going to react with a greater weapon than anything the government could ever dream of, and that is the minds of the people. And they're trying to use people's minds against us, too. They try to put ideas of the state into people's minds, and they try to get people to submit to fear. And the reason they have to use fear in order to get people to submit is because they have inferior ideas, and they know this. They know that the people know that what they are doing is wrong at some level deep inside. We know that war is wrong. We know at some level taxation is wrong. Somewhere deep inside, you know it. And they have inferior ideas, so they have to have guns. And they have to have men in costumes with guns to enforce these ideas, because they are not good ideas. We have good ideas. We have freedom on our side. We have morality on our side. We have everything that we could dream of on our side. And all they have is violence. And that's why they have to use violence. That's why we use violence. That's why people use violence. The reason a kid takes someone's toy is because he has no other option but to take their toy. The reason government steals from us is because no one would give them anything if it was up to us. And they know that. So they have to lie and use force. We have morality on our side. We have freedom on our side. And we have a dream of a society that respects one another and loves one another. And all they have is violence. We are the people speaking of peace, and they are the people speaking of violence. And George Carlin kind of has a funny quote, if you have the time to look it up. It talks about how pretty much everyone who advocated for peace over time was killed. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Jesus, they were all killed, and they all advocated for peace. That is something they all have in common. The people who advocate for anti-war policies are killed. JFK was killed. And guess what? It was not very long after he said he wanted to get a silver standard and he wanted to pull out of Vietnam. Then he winds up dead. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think he was killed because he loved freedom and he loved peace. And we are the people who love peace, and we are the people doing something about it. And there is a war out there, but we refuse to act violently in this war. But we have morality on our side, and that is greater than anything the state could ever hope for. Where the state uses lies and violence, we use logic and reason and morality. And over time, less and less coercion has been used. There's still a lot of coercion being used on us, but we have came long past physical slavery. We have came long past the ideas that it's okay to kill your enemies. And now there's only one people who get to do this, one group of people, and that is the government. Where it used to be that white men had slaves, where it used to be that white men could do these things in America, in other societies where it was viewed as okay to take prisoners in war, now there's only one group of people who get to take prisoners. There's only one group of people who get to use violence to sell their problems. There's only one group that gets to do this, and this group is the government, and it is essential that that we wake up to this. And it's essential that we wake others up to this. And so hopefully this is the goal of what this podcast can do. Hopefully this is what we achieve, is we achieve at waking more people up to noticing that the state is immoral, that the state is corrupt, and it does not work. Hopefully we can help provide more people advocating for a free society. And that is really the goal of what this podcast is trying to accomplish. I will often talk about what is going on in the news from an anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist perspective. I will talk about philosophical issues. If you guys have any questions, like I said, lukemarshallskates@gmail.com, lukemarshallskates@gmail.com. So you can always email me. I'd always be happy to answer in an article or on a podcast. If you have any preference of which one you'd like me to answer your question in, please let me know. And also, if you have the time, go to www.lukemarshallskates.wix.com/theancapphilosopher. And I repeat, that is www.lukemarshallskates.wix.com/theancapphilosopher. Thank you guys for listening to my show. Please spread these ideas. You don't even have to spread this podcast, although I'd like you to. Just spread these ideas. I challenge you all to talk about someone about what you heard today. I challenge you all just to think about these ideas and think, is taxation extortion? Is taxation theft? Is war wrong? Do we need a state in order to benefit as a society? So like I said, I'll talk about many philosophical issues and current issues. And just thank you for listening. LukeMarshallSkates at gmail.com and www.lukemarshallskates.wix.com/theandcapphilosopher. Email me, look at my website, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks.